Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hi!
Welcome to Scam-Wow!
I'm Caitlin Brodnick.
And I'm Ellen Hahn.
And we love scams! Hi guys, we love scams, we love you. Welcome to another episode with the queen herself, Ellen Hahn. Thank you, Ellen. Welcome back.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here and to be discussing such exciting breaking news that broke last
week. Breaking news, well, it did break last week, and then I was on vacation last week, so I was like, Jen's going to have to wait, okay? The coverage is going to have to be delayed, because I'm on a quote vacation where I'm taking care of a four-year-old child who's crazy.
Yeah, that
so
doesn't
like really...
That doesn't sound like a vacation. That sounds like a trip.
It was quite crazy. It was a trip. It was quite a trip, and that's great. We got to see family. We got to go to Florida, which is so stressful and lovely at the same time. It's like, you know, Florida. Beautiful, majestic, and then no one's wearing a mask and like sneezing in your eyebrows. Like,
yep.
You're just like, what's happening?
Yep.
You know, but it was lovely. It was really great. And I'd do it again. And Ellen, you had the last, so I'm just going to bogart this for 1 second because the last episode we had with Ellen, we talked about Jen Shah and it got the most downloads of, I think, the year. Ellen.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I'm not kidding. I think you are Miss Number One Guest of the Year. Let's all applaud Ellen. She did so great. It was so exciting. And you talked about your play. And so I want to hear, how did your play go?
Oh my gosh, it went great. This was Sands by Willa, I think. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We did a production in New York. We also did a production in Los Angeles at the Lyric Hyperion. Guess what, guys? We're going to do it again when Succession season 3 rolls out. Yeah.
Yes, you have to.
Yes. If you don't remember or if you didn't listen to the original Jen Shah episode, Sands by Willa is a comedy play that I wrote that if you watch the TV show Succession, the character Willa has a play that is on Broadway called Sands, and the play is very bad. So I wrote the fan fiction Sands by Willa.
So
it's about
funny.
What the play is. Yeah. It's great.
It is so, I can't wait.
It's really fun.
Wait. So funny. Oh my God. I love it so much. And so, yeah, because our entire group, more people than ever, were listening. So they should all come check it out because we love Ellen.
Yay.
That's amazing. Yay. And so, yeah, so we brought Ellen back because not only is she clearly a fan favorite, most downloaded of the year, but we've got to talk about this Jen Shah, this salty, salty Jen Shah, and what's happening in her life. And I don't even know. What do you think, Ellen?
Well,
tell me everything.
Should I take it away? Okay, so...
Please take it all away.
So a week ago, this is... we're recording on Monday, and last Monday, July 11th, Jen Shah pled guilty to one of the charges that she was facing. One count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud.
Yeah.
The money laundering charge was dropped as part of her plea deal.
Okay.
A lot of people were saying that this was like shocking and a big surprise, and it was because the case was about to go to trial. I think it was going to start...
Okay.
It was going to trial maybe like this week or next. Very, very soon. We were very close to the trial happening.
Okay.
So it was really shocking that that she waited this long to plea.
Right. And it was also shocking because when we covered all this in the beginning, everyone was saying, just make a plea. I just had my husband turn on the lights because I was putting Lewis to bed. And so you were talking to me. I was just like a floating disc. So I just had to ask him to please turn on the lights. Sorry. And we'll edit that out. I was just talking in the dark. So I remember when we first started talking about Jen Shah, we were like, she was so confident. She was so proud. But everyone, lawyers, social media, the average Joe was saying, you should plead guilty.
Yes.
If the, her case did not look great. And the number one reason that I felt this way, and I'm sure you have a bunch of other feelings too, is that the FBI had been tracking the company she used to work for over, I believe, 15 years.
Yeah.
So this wasn't like somebody was suing her, or wasn't a hearsay. This was a long, trotted out discovery through that the FBI have tried me pull on multiple companies. So diving deep into multiple companies for fraud that she worked for, each of those companies.
Right. And it wasn't just that she worked for these companies. She was running one of them.
Right.
They charged, I believe, like around 13 people in all of these schemes. And they put those people into tiers on like how, based on how involved they were. And it went A, 1, 2, 3. And Jen was tier A. She was the top.
It went Jen Shaw and then everybody
else. Yes, that really, it was like Jen Shaw and Stuart Smith and then basically everybody else.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I didn't even realize that. Because I know she, in her defense, she said she worked for some companies that were also being looked into by the FBI. And she said she didn't know what was happening at these other companies years before. But it turned out those multiple people, those bosses and everyone just kept changing the names of their companies and moving around.
Yes.
And so what exactly was Jen Shaw doing that brought her in this mess?
So what these companies would do are their telemarketing schemes. Like, I'm sure we all have gotten phone calls with something like, hey, your warranty has expired. Or, hey,
I don't even have a car.
Yeah. Right. Hey, like, we have a great business opportunity for you. And so what these companies would do is that, you know, people would either, you know, they'd either pick up the phone when they got one of those calls, or they would call the company back. And the company would basically sell them, you know, like, they were calling them business offerings, quote unquote. And that was like, you know, a website will run your online store for you. But most of these people that were signing up for these things didn't need them. They were specific. They were specifically targeting people that were 55 and older, which the government is referring to in their case as the elderly. And like, we know that people 55 are not elderly, but
J-Lo just got married. Yeah, and she's not looking elderly, but who knows? Maybe she could be easily scammed. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I wish her the best.
You know, I don't know if J-Lo knows how to buy a website on like,
you know, I don't know.
Namecheap.com.
Yourlogohere.com.
Yeah. So
she'd buy a billboard before she'd buy a website.
Yes. But anyway, she could have called these people and they would have actually basically done nothing for her. Because like what Jen was pleading guilty to and what everybody else pled guilty to is that these businesses did not exist. Like these offerings did not exist. If you gave this company your credit card and they were like, great, we'll build you your website. They never built you a website. They never built you an online store. Okay. They just took your credit card money.
Right.
Yeah.
And then also what was interesting, so through this phishing and finding people, they would also earmark anyone that seemed to be not mentally sound, somebody that might have difficulty, somebody that did not either understand what was happening during the phone conversation. Maybe language-wise, it wasn't their strength, or mentally, they weren't as equipped to handle something like this, or it was a mistake that they picked up the phone, something like that. And then they would mark those people as specific clients to call and follow up on and feed on those people. So it was a very sensitive, that's also what made it so creepy and dirty, was that not only was it a scam phishing call that we see a million times, but it was a collection then and a curating of people that seemed to not have the strongest resistance towards something like this. And then she would sell that to other companies that were doing phishing calls or other scams, and that was also a form of currency for them, is that they would pay to have these, you know, the names of victims that seem to be easily taken advantage of.
Yeah, exactly.
And which is so fucked up.
Right.
What an idiot.
I think when they say elderly, they're just meaning people who are like perhaps not computer literate, who like don't understand that they don't need a website or that they don't need an online store.
Well, even, and then I'm sure they have a couple like 100, you know, sentients or centrons, whatever they're called. And they're like so excited somebody called them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I'm 106 and I'm alive, I'm going to think it's the Guinness Book World of Records every time someone calls me, and I'll give them all my information so that they send me a party.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be in that book. Ugh, it's just sucky. It's so sucky.
Yeah, she was charged with one count of conspiracy to commit wire fraud and one count of conspiracy to commit money laundering.
So she went against the money laundering.
So as part of her plea deal, the government dropped the money laundering charge. And so she just pled guilty to conspiracy to commit wire fraud.
And so conspiracy to commit something that she still has said, like, I know I'm guilty and I've done something wrong, but it sort of feels still like a lighter way to come off as guilty, like conspiracy to maybe do one thing that I never really did. Like it's a roundabout way of trying to still say you're innocent in a way. I don't know.
I think it's actually the opposite of that. Like if you're charged with.
I'm so sorry, guys. Do not have me as your lawyer. I don't know what I'm talking about.
To be clear, I do not have a law degree either.
But she's more than I do.
You know what?
She's written a play.
You know what this actually goes back to? It goes back to us talking about the mafia and.
Yes. You reading that huge book?
Yes, from reading that huge book. But so like conspiracy to commit a crime, it means that you didn't have to actually be in the room, but you had to be like part of the brain trust that was organizing these crimes being committed. So like Jen didn't have to be on the phone telling an old lady to buy a website, but she had to tell someone else to get on the phone with an old lady to, to buy a website.
Okay. So it is worse. And as back to our... I remember you did tell me too, and we had Alan talk about this as well, that for the mafia, that was the way that they got a bunch of people because they couldn't necessarily find mafia members in the act. So it came up with this new illegal way to say, well, you had the intention to, which is used against people unethically in some cases, and in some cases, Jen Shah. Right. It's what she's choosing to say she's guilty for. Okay, I'll just double check. On this Time article, it said, on Monday, Shah changed her plea to guilty, appearing in Manhattan federal court in front of the U.S. District Judge Sidney Stein. Shah pled guilty to conspiracy to commit wire fraud. According to reports, the judge agreed to drop Shah's additional charge of conspiracy to commit money laundering. Now, I wonder why.
It's like a poker bargaining chip thing.
Yeah.
Because the other this is going into like sentencing. So she's going to be sentenced in November of this year, I believe. But looking forward to like sentencing, I don't know the exact years off the top of my head, but if she had been, if she had like gone to trial and been found guilty of both conspiracy to commit wire fraud and money laundering, then.
And had pled non guilty.
And pled not guilty and then would be found guilty by a jury. She basically then could have served those chunks of time like back to back. So she could have been in prison for longer. So basically by
like 30 years or something. Because I see her quote here. Well, no. Now, Jen is quoted by saying from 2012 to March 2021 in the Southern District of New York and elsewhere, I agreed with others to commit wire fraud. Shah said in court, I did this by knowingly providing customer names to people who were marketing business services that had little or no value. I knew this was wrong. I know many people were harmed, and I am so sorry. Well, that's nice. She said she's sorry. I just can't believe she said she's sorry in this. Yeah. Not just I'll plead guilty. Like, she's actually asking for forgiveness.
Well, she really had to, like, because you can't.
You can't.
After you plead guilty, it's not like she really can't take to Instagram now and be like, I pled guilty, but it's not that I'm actually guilty. I just had to plead.
Right.
Because if the judge sees that, then the judge is going to sentence her to a lot longer. So it would be very doubtful that she would do that. But
she was just so proud of herself in the beginning. Like, in the very beginning, she's like, I'm fully not guilty. She kept saying to everybody, this is a mistake. They put my name into something that has nothing to do with it. And throughout this time, everyone's like, no, all of the arrows point to you. You're the top of the pyramid. You're signing people's checks.
Yes. That was making me really mad, especially in the reunion when she was saying stuff like, I'm going to fight this for all of the other people that can't fight it. Like, implying that she was like some sort of like activist and like taking a bold and brave stand.
Taking a knee.
Yeah.
During a football game.
Taking a knee for her own pocketbook and for
for all those other dollar bills who are lonely right now. They wanted 15 other brothers and sisters, tens and twenties, and hundreds.
And they wanted to come to my house. Like,
yeah. And I want them all to be like around in a big barrel and we can all be together. And I'm standing up for those that are lonely right now in my pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, moron.
Yeah.
I know. Okay, so this is, so the Time article even says, while Shaw long maintained her innocence, her tagline of last season is, the only thing I'm guilty of is being Shaw-mazing. So she even puts it into her episode of, or The Real Housewives, that she's not guilty. That's her tagline. She could have said anything. She could have said, you know, I'm here to be honest and to love my children. Or like, honesty is the best medicine served in court. I don't know. You can say anything. Look, I'm not a writer for Jen Shaw, but I'm saying that she could have said anything, but she is claiming herself not guilty as her tagline from the get-go of a season in a television series that is filming her whole life. Again, this is insane because we've said it. We said it in last episode. The FBI watches Real Housewives. Don't discount them.
You know, I guess I was about to say that I was sure that like some intern was like watching one day and was like, I should Google this lady. But they were investigating this case long before The Real Housewives aired. But the other thing this gets to is that it is always nuts when someone who clearly has a skeleton in their closet, that skeleton being you're committing a felony, agrees to go on television.
That is a felony skeleton of all skeletons. Yeah, I know. Well, that's why we talked about Chrisley Knows Best.
Yes.
And Chrisley, they had committed fraud years ago and then just moved states and kept going. Like, I don't know why the audacity of these people. And Elle and I were talking about our careers before we started recording because we're actresses and we have lives. And I was so funny. Elle and I was like thinking, this is off topic, but not at all off topic. Like, to be a successful actress or Hollywood person, do you just have to look like you love to lie? Like, there's like this element of like, I'm the shit and you better suck it. Like, there's just this feeling. And I think it comes from like the fact that everybody now has veneers.
Yeah.
And I know this is like, maybe Jen has it too, but like this idea that you look more Hollywood-y and approachable or like famous, quote unquote, if you have the fakest looking teeth of all time. And is it just you have to like sign on to the... Do you have veneers?
No.
Okay. I didn't know. You were smiling and I was like, oh my God, what if you had veneers this whole time?
Do you know to get veneers, they have to shave your teeth down to little nubs?
Yes.
That is fully so little nubs. Scary.
It's so creepy because what if one comes off and then you just have a little pointer?
I know.
And Bad Bunny said that he loved, you know, he's glad he did it, but he really was upset because his teeth have been in pain like forever.
Oh, no.
Like, it makes him look great, but his teeth, he was like the biggest mistake. But now there's this thing called like Lumineers, I think, which is a thinner cover. And they said they take down less enamel, but it's still enamel getting ripped off your teeth, which is what every Trident commercial or whatever is trying to tell you to preserve.
Yeah.
So I don't really understand. What are we doing? But should I get veneers to show that I'm a real actress?
I think no. I think we've agreed no.
Okay, phew. So back to Jen Shaw. But it's this idea that, like, you have to be the most, you're just, like, the fakest, most in denial, crazy-ass person, and they'll give you a TV show.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's extreme self-confidence bordering on delusion.
Extreme.
Right.
Extreme. I wish I had an ounce of any of that. Like, that is what the extreme self-confidence is such. I think that's why I was friends with so many narcissists when I was younger. Because I was like, how did you do that? Like, how do you just walk around like your shit doesn't stink?
Yeah.
We should be thanking you.
I mean, the flip side of this is Countess Luann having a cabaret career when she cannot hear pitch. So, I mean, I think I would prefer Countess Luann, also who has been arrested, but for, you know,
many
not
times.
Defrauding people.
But, no, right. Not defrauding people. In bars, drinking, where she said she has like a restraint from a court order document to stay sober, or she has like an ankle monitor. That sort of seems more like a hubris, like a mistake. Like, she just can't help herself because she doesn't know how bad she sounds. But Jen Shaw is like, I just can't help myself. Let's take these old people for all they got.
Let's
take all that money. Yeah. So it says too that she may also be forced to pay up to $9.5 million in restitution. Mm-hmm. As well as $6.5 million to the federal government.
I know.
And where's that money's going to come from? Her family.
I know. And that's...
Her kids are going to suffer.
Because she and Coach Shaw don't own property. So, like,
no.
I don't know. So the 6.5 is just going to come out of their bank accounts, I guess. And then restitution is all the money that goes to the victims. So,
I don't think they're going to get that.
Right. I mean, they put these people on like payment plans and...
For forever.
Yeah, for forever.
I hope it goes. And then a bunch of these victims, I'm sure, because they were elderly. It's been going for so many years. They've passed away.
Yeah, I know.
So I'm not sure. Like, I don't, you know, again, I'm not a lawyer. What am I doing? But I wonder if it goes to like further generations, you know? Like,
yeah. I don't know. Yeah. They stole from your That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so insane. So she was arrested on March 30th, 2021 in Salt Lake City. And that was all filmed on the show.
Oh, we in the Sprinter van.
Thing. Yeah.
An iconic, creepy. Iconic production. An iconic hour of television.
Well, I remember Andy Cohen was telling, I was listening to a Bitch Session. Andy was like, this is a real bonkers, this is a really good season. And everyone's like, oh, I wonder what the cease will be. And then you find like the squat, a SWAT team circling a van because someone's committed multiple felonies. I guess that would be a good season.
My favorite was just Lisa Barlow, like on the phone with all of her attorneys. Just one after another, like, hey, Chris, okay, I'm so freaked out. What's going on?
Attorney number 17. Yeah. Yeah, this is Lisa Barlow. And she's just going on and on and on.
And then, my other favorite one was Whitney getting the news on her phone and going, oh, fraud.
Yes.
Just shouting the word fraud. Oh, my God, fraud.
Yeah. So all of these, if you've never seen Real Housewives or if you're a diehard Housewives fan, you just haven't seen this, is Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Utah. And it is surrounding the Mormon community. And one of the women is sort of like the stereotypical blonde hair, big boobs. She talks about she bought them, like the whole thing. She kind of talks in like a baby voice, which I guess I sort of have a baby voice, so I can't really make fun of it. I sound the same. And while the facts are coming in, as Jen Shah is getting followed by the cops to try and be arrested, is simultaneously coming out on their phones what's happening with Jen. And somehow there's a report going on at the same time. I thought that was kind of like bonkers. They were looking up things. Was that true? Like in the van, they were looking up stuff as she was getting
chased? Because so Jen left the van. They were like going on a trip to Colorado, I think. And so Jen left the van. She lies about Coach Shah having like, what was it?
Cerebral palsy. Yeah, some heart attack.
Like he's in the hospital. I have to go.
Yeah.
So she leaves. Then they're still in the van and she gets arrested like a few hours later, maybe like an hour later.
Yes.
So then all of, you know, because like the government has to file, like, you know, if you are arrested, that is like public information. All that
correct.
That all has to be like available.
Department of Justice has it all online. Yeah.
Right. So just pretty immediately, I'm sure people saw that case come through the docket and press started writing about it. So then the women in the Sprinter van were like reading the news.
And yes. And what was so funny is that the women were, the reason they were in this van for so long is they were going to a like specific location to do a girls trip. So the hours that they're stuck in this van eating Cheetos and like drinking, they're also slowly discovering what's happening to Jen Shah. And going back to the girl, what's her name? The bimbo one.
Whitney.
Whitney. Yeah. Everybody thinks is a bimbo. She right away was like, I know exactly what this is. And she read that whole thing and summarized exactly what was happening, what Jen's charges could be, how she should get in trouble. Like, Whitney is an expert on scams and committing fraud. We need her on this podcast. We need to hang out with her. She's brilliant.
Caitlin, you know why she's an expert in scams, don't you? Because her husband owns an MLM.
Right. Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, I could think about was that her dad was an alcoholic and I was worried about him and his hair salon. Yeah. But her husband... So her husband is working actively to not get in trouble.
I just think she's probably well-versed in the nuances of what is a legal multi-level marketing company and what is an illegal pyramid scheme.
Oh, my God. It's just...
Bless her heart.
You can't write this.
No, you...
We wish we could.
I know. Yeah, Utah is a hotbed of Mormons and money marketing or MLMs and wire fraud.
It's true. It's true.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Well, okay, and so she will be sentenced in November, and the way that her plea deal works is that if she gets up to 14 years, she can't appeal. So if the judge is like,
what does that mean?
So like if she gets 13 years in prison, she has to go to prison for 13 years. She can't appeal. If for some reason the judge would like sentence her to 20 years, then she could appeal that.
But would it only get her down to 13?
We wouldn't know.
It's like 13 the minimum kind of? Oh, okay.
No, we don't know what the minimum is because so the other people that are similar to her tier in this right. scheme that have pled guilty and have been sentenced, not all of them, everyone else has pled guilty. Jen was the last person to plead guilty. Some of them have been sentenced, but not all of them have been sentenced yet. The longest that anyone has gone to prison for is 6 years. So I think that probably Jen will be in that neighborhood, but it could be up to 14.
Wow. That is so. And so Stuart, Stuart's saying like immediately that. Yes. So Stuart is her second in command on TV, on camera. She has so many. She really did him dirty. She has so many moments where she says, Stu, I can't do anything without you. You're my right hand man. You know everything. You know all my secrets. So she is indicting him in this immediately, just like putting him in every single sentence of how whatever she does in her life, he must know all of it. So when they come after him, he immediately says, yeah, I did it. And I'll speak. I'll say whatever. So he tries to get out of it as quickly as possible. And then he pled guilty right away. And did you say what his sentence was?
He hasn't been sentenced yet, I don't think.
Oh. Yeah. Ooh, I thought he did.
A couple of the other people that have been sentenced, one woman who was kind of at like the bottom of the scheme, who was like, she was an administrative assistant and definitely kind of understood what was going on, but was like really the lowest person in this hierarchy. I think she got like a year in prison.
Oh, okay. Well, that's so crazy that when you're a fucking receptionist, I've been a receptionist and you're just like, I don't know. I was told what to do, but maybe it's more than that.
Yeah. She had done enough that like she she kind of understood what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also hard to like, because when everyone is telling you, when people are in your ear being like, yeah, this is fine. Like, this is, you know, everyone's out here trying to survive. So one of the other, do you want to hear one of the other terrible things about one of the other?
Yes, tell me everything.
Okay, so one of the other men in this scheme who was like brought into this company or all of these telemarketing companies, he was recruited to work for this company by his AA sponsor.
Yeah.
That's awful. So that's so mean. Yeah. That's so manipulative. I felt really badly for that guy.
Did they say what his sentencing was?
They did, but I forgot. He was also kind of lower on the hierarchy. So,
all right. Yeah. Not worth it. But sad for him, but not worth to remember. Yeah, it's so crazy. I think, because I remember I worked for a physical therapy office, that the physical therapist was telling us to change the diagnosis codes to something that would get him more money by the insurance company. Mm. No. It was to lie to the patient and say that we don't take, the insurance wasn't covering it, even though the insurance would, and they would pay a smaller amount, because he said, oh, she'll pay for anything. She'll pay for it all. And I was like, that's lying. And I quit. Yeah. I was like, this is complete fraud. You, even if your patient says she'll pay full price, you can't lie to her and say you're going to rent it through insurance and just never rent it through insurance. Yeah. He was such a creepy guy. Also, he cheated on his wife with like one of his employees who still worked there in the office on an office bed. It's all gross.
Oh,
it's all gross.
Yeah, you got to get out of there.
This guy really sucked. Yeah, so I got out of there fast. I don't even put him on my resume because I was like, I don't want anyone to know I was near this psychotic person who insisted women wear heels. He was just the worst human being. So something like that, I'm like, as a receptionist, I would testify, but I would also, I think I've tried to like tell people about him. I'm like, should I get him in trouble?
Yeah.
It's so fucking creepy. But yeah, I do. But I do have sympathy for that receptionist.
I know. Yeah.
I wonder if she got anything, like if she was making money from it and that was why.
Yeah, I mean, I think she was. Like, I think, yeah, everybody who was charged was like making money in some way, whether it was a salary or like commission and kickbacks and stuff.
Of course. Ugh. Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. So, right. I just read, too, according to a previous court document obtained by People magazine, similar charges were given sentences ranging from about 5 to 7 years. So that's like what you said.
That's,
I don't know. It's so funny, too, because I think even the Joe Giudice, because I always refer to them as their schemes and fraud, that was just tax evasion. So he only, I think, did almost 2 years.
I think that's about right.
And that was it.
Yeah.
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 And Teresa did a little over one. And so this is nothing like that.
Yeah.
She ran her own companies defrauding other victims.
And when you think about it, they were defrauding defrauding other people. They were hurting other people. Like Teresa and Joe were just defrauding the government, which, you know.
Yeah, which everyone does.
Yeah. Right.
There's like as common as can be.
Yeah. And Heather and Meredith were with Jen in New York before the trial. They were having a grand old time. And then Jen just marched herself right into court and said, just kidding, I'm guilty.
I wonder what changed her mind. I wonder, this is the very dark thought I had, that she was in the middle of filming and was like, let's make it a cliffhanger and let's go to court.
Well,
keep her story going.
I mean, I think probably what happened, and this is just a theory that I'm making up, is that,
okay, I love
you
it.
You know, I think that her attorneys got to this point where they're looking at the trial happening in 2 weeks, and they just looked at all the evidence and they were like, there's absolutely no way you're going to win. Like, you're not going to get off.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, the best case scenario for her to. Right. Because if she had gone to trial and been found guilty of both charges that she was facing, she definitely would probably, like, she could have faced 30 years in prison. So.
Right. And that's also never seeing her children again. Like, not.
Right.
She has two sons that were horribly like held up by police by gunpoint when they were arresting her and looking for her, and instead they went to the house where she wasn't and her children were there. And I said on the last episode, I hate how that Bravo showed that. It's like, just don't show these poor kids being held at gunpoint by a SWAT team. But I think that has to play a point of like, if you're in for 30 years, you're gonna miss your child's lives completely.
Yeah.
Which,
and six, I mean, is you're still missing a lot of time, but you're not
a
missing
lot,
everything. So,
yeah. So it says, so Jen Shaw did say also that she wanted all of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City clips excluded from the trial, which I don't think you're allowed. Her legal team is gearing up for it in court, and they have specific demands according to Us Weekly, the very, very smart Us Weekly, it says, quote, any use of clips from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City at the trial of Ms. Shaw, either in the government's case in chief or during cross-examination of the defense's case, would have to fall under one of the exceptions to the hearsay rule of evidence, as they are, by definition, out-of-court statements. Court documents obtained by the U.S. in February 2022 stated the defense also submitted nearly 40 questions for the potential jury, including multiple queries about each prospective juror's knowledge of the reality series.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the argument that they're trying to make there is that you can't trust like what has aired on an episode of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City because, you know, we all know that like stuff is edited and stuff is taken out of context. Right. So I'm sure that's why they were arguing that it shouldn't be allowed in court. Like the difference, I suppose, being in like the raw footage that they probably had and then like the edited footage that was aired on television.
Okay. She also asked in March 2022, U.S. Attorney Damian Williams asked the judge to reject Jen's previous subpoena for documents, video footage, and communications related to the ABC News documentary, The Housewife and the Shaw Shocker. So, I mean, it's just like super. The Shaw Shocker sounds like a sex move that like you didn't know. Like it was very upsetting.
It was a very surprise. That was,
he gave me a Shaw Shocker and I was like, whoa, I'm not going on a second date. Okay. A Shaw Shocker on the first date is a red flag.
It doesn't sound like there's a lot of consent involved in a Shaw Shocker.
No, it doesn't sound easygoing or comfortable. No. It just sounds like a real, real blow to the system. And so where was I going with this? I don't know. I'm just like, her documentary, the ABC News documentary, The Housewife and the Shaw Shocker, they tried to subpoena those out as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think that's worked, right?
Well, it doesn't matter now. Yeah. So I think what happens before you go to trial is that
you're right.
Both sides say what they think can be allowed and what can't be allowed. You know, you file all these motions. It's all kind of, you know, you're arguing over how you're going to get to present your case.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And so then the fact that she now has pleaded guilty, all of that can go away. But I wonder, so the fact that she pleaded guilty, she now does not have to, they don't have to go to court.
Yeah, there's no trial. The next thing that she'll have to do is go back for her sentencing, which is in November of this year. And then she will probably have to report to jail or to prison in like early next year.
Wow.
However,
and, you know, before she goes to her trial, she's going to have to get all that plastic surgery done because you can't get it done in jail. She's going to have to get everything lasered, lipoed off. Like, she's going to have to do a lot of her treatments and do some serious Botoxing.
And they're going to have to start shooting season 3 of Real Housewives of Salt Lake, like, right now.
They are. Or maybe they're like, we want it. Of course, I wonder if she's got to already be ready to turn this. I have a feeling that, like, the reason that she pled guilty and all this stuff is she was also probably coming up with an idea of like where she could go next with this, you know, like,
well,
okay, I'll plead guilty, I'll come back.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, I think, I believe that they have wrapped season 2 or no, wait, no, sorry.
Okay.
Season 3, because last season was season 2, right? Okay. Yes. They were doing another season. They have wrapped that season. So.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure there was something in the fact that she waited until they were done filming to make this plea.
She's still a businesswoman, you know, be it old people who don't understand what you're saying on the phone or a Real Housewives documentary, Shaw Shocker. Like, she's a businesswoman. She's getting it done. Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm just staring. If you look at her online, guys, if you Google her, you can just witness the plastic surgery. And that's what I'm concerned about mainly for her, is that I don't know if she'll have the same surgeons in prison. Doubtful. I'll just say pretty doubtful.
I think she won't. I really think she won't.
I don't think she will.
It's kind of shocking that she pulled the plug and said, nope, I'm guilty. After
did
you see the Andy Cohen quote that was like, I am so surprised and hurt? I mean, I guess I don't mean I
Why?
Kind of I What's, kind of rolled
that
my
really pissed me off. Yes. I
rolled
it was
my
so obnoxious.
I was like, I mean, look, there it's very I do wonder, this might be true. I wonder if Jen is really charismatic in person. Like, she might be one of those people that is a little bit of a sociopath. And like, when you are in her presence, she like, you like, you feel glowy.
Does she have fake teeth?
Yeah, she's an actress. Yeah. She's got fake teeth. She makes you feel like you're the most important person in the world.
Yes.
So if that person is coming to you and being like, I'm innocent, I'm totally innocent, and I'm fighting this because I am right. then I can understand how, like, why that would be convincing. I never thought it was convincing as, like, somebody from the outside.
No, it's so smarmy. No, I actually think Andy Cohen is keep silent because he has a business to run. He's running a business. And then the second that she comes out guilty, he has to say that he's disappointed. Like, I feel that he has had this statement written since the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, the moment that she will say, because he doesn't want to indict in, like, he doesn't want to, or her to say, like, he doesn't want to say, I'm so embarrassed and so sorry for the victims right away, because then it seems like she did commit it. He wants to say, like, well, we'll just see where Jen goes. Also, it keeps viewers going. Like, it's a business thing for him as well. Like, his business is running off of her life falling apart and imploding. And so he holds his breath and doesn't say anything until the very end. And then he has to say he's sorry for the victims because he needs to keep all those fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they're not all there anyway. So they want to know that Mr. Andy's with them. I hate that.
So fucking obnoxious. It is, like, Jen is just so much more charming than Erica, in the sense of, like, Jen has been able to keep some of the Broadio audience on her side.
Well, Jen is a master.
Yeah. And Erica has not.
No. But Erica, so this is what was so interesting. Like, Jen still shows this, like, neediness and victim-y.
Mm-hmm.
And she seems like she's there to have a lot of fun. We're talking about Erica Girardi, who's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Her husband got in tons of trouble for being, like, a complete con artist as well. And she came off as just pissed and angry at everyone. So it's like, if you have a con artist that's angry, or a con artist that's, like, throwing a party and making drinks, you're going to go with the cocktail waitress con artist who's having a great time.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to go. She seems fun. And I get that. I hear what you're saying about Andy being like, oh, you know, she's very charming and charismatic. But if he looked at any of the paperwork that said the FBI had been following for over 15 years, he knew that he was, like, you know, wrong.
Yeah.
So I think that's the thing, too, is that, like, you can say anything you want. You can say you're so shocked. But also, he might have chosen not to read anything and not to read anything into the media to, you know, filter his opinion of her. But that also means he was being incredibly ignorant, if that was the case. Yeah. Just, like, so stupid. This person that you are paying money to or hiring is an active committer of fraud and has done so for years, and it's documented in many places. And you're dumb if you don't see that.
It's like all the Beverly Hills women talking about the LA Times article about Tom and Erica and just saying, it was so long, I couldn't read it.
Oh, my God, I know. They're like, that's what's so funny, too, is that people don't want to read something because they don't want to be biased and they don't want to, you know, make snap judgments. You should be biased. You should be making judgments.
It's also the news. It's not like being biased. Yeah. Right.
It's not an idea. Yeah. Of, like, is her, you know, does her forehead look funny? It's like the facts coming out from the government that's been hunting her down. And it's like, yeah, exactly. It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
That's one of my favorite quotes. I love to say that article is too long.
It's just too long. You know, like, I just want the experience to come to me, and then, like, we'll see based on my life experiences, like, if I think she's guilty.
I'll feel it out. Yeah.
I'll feel it out. I know. And they do a lot of feeling out.
Listen, there are many of ways to, if you don't like to read, you can listen to an article. You can, you know.
You can ask a friend to read it to you.
Yeah.
You can just stand by a corner in New York City and somebody will start screaming about it in a minute. Uh-huh. Like, you know, there's so many ways. You could go on TikTok. Somebody will have a dance to that article explaining what's happening and point their fingers to little, like, bullet points. Yes, 100%. And look at you.
No one can see it, but I'm on the Zoom pointing at the facts.
She's doing the perfect TikTok dance and she's pointing all over the place.
Yeah. So I'm pointing at all the years that Jen's going to have to serve in prison.
Yeah.
No, I was going to bring us down. And this is really terrible.
Go,
for her.
Bring us. Bring it.
For her kids. This is just awful. Yeah. And, like, they on the show last year, they, like, showed the scene of her mom giving her money for the legal battle. And I just really hope that her mother didn't actually do that and that it was just a scene for the show. And you feel badly for her husband and obviously all the people that got defrauded. So. This is.
Yeah, it's like that's the thing, too. The people that were defrauded of all this, they had this actually with the documentary of Erica Girardi, is you're seeing this person flaunt their wealth on television. And you're like, wait, that person owes me $50,000. And because of that $50,000 that I don't have, I can't pay my taxes, my car insurance. I'm like eating things at like, you know, the lowest grade possible because I can't afford anything. Like it is, you're seeing their life thriving and it is directly affecting your life and happiness. Yeah. And that's completely jarring to people.
Yeah. And I guess to be clear, like Erica has never been charged with a crime. It seems like she was probably just living this lifestyle that was funded by her husband who was doing all of the crimes. But
and ignorantly just
and not or whatever. Right. Not asking questions.
Right.
I guess is its own crime, but it is not a felony. It's not a federal crime.
Yes, he could have made her feel stupid anytime she asked questions. It's fine, but there was something fishy there that she didn't become involved or like seek out.
And this is not to get us totally sidetracked, but she also has expressed very little remorse and kind of very little empathy for anyone that has been affected by that. So.
Right. And it's so funny because with these watching Real Housewives, you're watching people that are train wrecks, you know, explode and shit on each other and just a train wreck, pieces flying everywhere. You're watching that happen. But you want like a tiny bit of humility in everyone. You want to see somebody struggling to say, I was trying to be somebody I wasn't. Mm-hmm. Like you just want some sort of crack. Like I feel if you're a Housewives fan, Lisa Rinna does a really good job of coming in at the reunions and having like this tearjerker or this fake tear to say like, I've learned a lot and now I'm a better person. And it's always fake and you know it's bullshit, but at least she knows that's required of you to continue to want to engage with somebody on a visual medium. Like just to see someone's life, you have to see a level of humility. And so the housewives that don't have it are just seem even more crazy than ever. Yeah. Like, you know that they're crazy. And if they don't have an ounce of humility in them, you're like, wow, that is an insane person.
I guess what I hearing you say that makes me think, like, at least Erica is not really pretending. She's just being really mean. And meanwhile,
she's really icky.
Yeah, she's really icky. But Jen spent a year lying basically and acting like she was innocent of all charges.
But Jen is, I don't know why, but Jen is sort of, she is not afraid to say, oh, poor me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. I'm like, she's not afraid to look stupid. Erica's thing is like, she doesn't want anyone to think for a second she's a victim. And it's a real fuck you to everyone in any way. Somebody's saying, good job, Erica. She's like, well, fuck you. I don't need your good job.
Right, right.
They're like, oh, good job, Erica. You know, this is hard. She's like, I've crossed this. I'm fine. Like, she won't take either side. And she's very controlling of the situation. And that feels dumb to me. Like, if you haven't looked at, I feel like Lisa Rinna is smarter because she's sort of playing the situation, even though she could be more frustrating, that she knows that you have to sort of make good with the audience in the reunion special or apologize. And Erica Girardi doesn't think she does. And I feel like Jen Shah is playing. I feel like Jen Shah is going to come right through smelling like a rose, apologizing, talking about her family right away. And I feel like she's going to do the genuine, she's going to try and be as genuine as she can and win back that support from her fans.
Yeah. And it's going to be,
she could do it.
It's going to be weird to watch though, because she did spend, you know, she spent a whole year saying that she was crying about how innocent she was. So,
yeah.
And
but I feel like I could see her crying again about how guilty she was. Like, it's so easy.
Yeah, like, I was backed into a corner. I was scared, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Again, she stole money from old people, so.
She was backed into a corner, and that corner happened to be with her hand in a pocket of multiple old people who were dying and could not see or smell or hear her because their senses were diluted. I think, I don't know. I guess the difference is I see so much anger in Erica Girardi.
Yeah.
And so much viciousness and refusal to have any sort of like connection with people.
Yeah.
Whereas like Jen Shah, she might be claiming her innocence, but she also seems that she would still be like a nice person and want to have a party.
Yes. Yeah, right. She seems like a great hang. But yeah.
I don't know.
She seems like a much better hang than Erica.
A much better hang. And I feel like she would be really fun in prison. Like if I was in prison and Jen Shah came, I'd be like, let's hang out. Tell me your secrets. Like I would be friends with her very fast.
I'm trying to think if I would or not. I don't know. Like, that's a good question. I think I would be really annoyed by her.
So goofy. Oh, really annoyed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to also imagine the scenario in which I am in prison.
A scenario in which, because most people who are, you don't go to prison for fun. So you're not like going to prison to make new friends. You're going to prison because you did something you felt that at that moment you needed to do and was the right thing to do. So it was probably based on survival or a necessity or feeling trapped in a situation. Exactly. So then you look at Jen Shaw and you're like, you're not really this victim of a system, victim of a situation, like stuck. You just like those old people's cash money, you know? Yeah, that's hard.
Maybe I just wouldn't ask what people were in there for and I would try to be friends with them regardless.
I don't think you ask. I think people tell you.
Okay.
If I was in there, I'd be like, and you know what? Like, I wouldn't be able to cut my mouth
shut. Well, Heather Gay said that she was going to visit her every day. So not every day.
Ew, every day.
I don't think every day. Heather said she would visit, though. So
yeah,
maybe, maybe Jen will just be demoted to a friend of for a few seasons.
I think the cameras will visit. Yeah. No, I think that, like, I don't think she's good or interesting or great, but I do think, like, she would, like, break out the worm at a party or something. Oh. Didn't she do that? Like, yeah.
I think she did.
Some fashion show. Yeah. Because, I don't know, there's just something silly about her where I'm like, you're a crazy person, but you're the kind of convict I like.
You'd keep it interesting.
You'd keep it spicy. And I like that in a convicted felon. But, I don't know. Yeah, I would never want to hang out. I would never hang out with Erica Girardi if she was in prison. I would stay so far away from her.
I don't think I would hang out with Erica Girardi in prison or real life.
No, not in real life. In real life, no. In real life, I would just stare at her and be like, is the makeup peeling off? Can I see any of it? Like, she's so, like, blatant with all of her fakeness that I would just be staring at her eyelashes, wondering if they were extensions or lessees. I'd want to know.
She's got veneers, yeah. I bet she's got veneers.
Yes! I'm not kidding. I'm thinking of getting, even though I have very big teeth, and think the concept of veneer, when you see someone who has veneers, you're just like, oh, like, you're famous. Like, it just looks so crazy.
I don't think you want veneers. I really don't think you want veneers.
I don't think I do. You know what? Okay, I'm going to out myself. I've been watching Love Island UK, and all those bitches have veneers. And it looks crazy, and I can't stop staring at it.
Well, they also...
I'm also loving it.
They're British, so, you know.
They're British.
They got to take care of their teeth.
Their teeth to begin with. Like, maybe in England, the look of a veneer shows that, like, you've made it past the stereotype and you've paid enough money to get out of that, you know, hole of terrible British teeth.
Bad teeth.
But, yeah, I am so obsessed with Love Island because I just love that these 20-somethings have not a consequence in the world.
Oh.
This is really nice while the world's falling apart.
Love Island is great summer television.
It's so good. It's called, my old professor calls it brain sorbet.
Yeah.
And I just love, I'm like, it's such a delight to watch these people. All they care about is, like, did their smoothie come out correctly? And, like, does somebody fancy them?
Are they cracking on?
Yes. I love it so much. And I love how their only focus is, like, banging and boobs and butts. And it's so fun to watch.
It's a great show. It's a great show.
During these difficult times. Yeah. It's a great show. So that's my plea. So really, it's all coming down to, I want veneers so I can be on Love Island and also then, like, go back in time and suddenly care about this at 20. And this is my question to you, Ella. Huh? This is all coming back to. When you were in your early 20s, were you as insanely confident as these psychopaths, like, either then or now, you know? Like, as confident as Jen in your 20s.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty confident now, and I don't think I have one drop of the amount of confidence that Jen Shaw has. That's how I feel.
So you have a real healthy self-esteem, which is great, but it's still nowhere in comparison.
Yeah. Can't touch.
On that chart.
Absolutely can't
touch.
She's
just flying sky high. Yeah. Wow. Then I'm even lower because I'm like touch and go this week. My 4-year-old is being very difficult. So I'm like, am I worth it? Like, I don't know. Oh my God. That's so funny. Yeah. I think, you know what? When I was drunk, I was a little bit more confident, but then also I was insane. Uh-huh. So, you know, but maybe that's the key. Maybe they do a lot of their stuff under a substance. And that's how you get, and that's how your AA sponsor tells you to work for a fraud company.
Gosh.
Oh, that's so fucked
that
up.
That was so sad. It made me really sad.
It's so sad, yes. But, you know, now he knows better. And now he knows to choose a different sponsor. You know, maybe not one that's also asking him to join his MLM.
Yeah.
You know, we live and we learn. And we relapse. It's so terrible. Amazing. So thank you so much, Ellen, for coming in, giving us this brief update. You're such an amazing fan favorite, and it's been a most amazing, the most amazing time talking
I'm
with you.
I'm thrilled to be back as a Housewife Scamspondent, and you know, we'll touch base again in November when she's been sentenced.
We've got to keep coming back. Yeah. When the season starts again, we've got to see what's happening, because you know that she's using these nuggets. She's going to air these nuggets.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Yes.
She's going to air out her nuggets. Yeah. For sure.
She's got an iPhone just in her house, just in case they need some extra footage.
Constantly. She has those like a weird like
little selfie
drone
stick.
Just like constantly like circling above her house, her rented apartment, to see if they need that for like the intro footage. Yeah, yeah. I think that's great. Yeah. She loves B-roll. She loves B-roll, and we love scams. And guys, if you know anything, if you are like a lawyer listening to this and cringing because we're getting everything wrong, and you're like, that's not how the world works, Caitlin, let us know. You can always email us or find us online at ScamWow Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and email us on Gmail at scamwowpodcast@gmail.com. And then you can call us on the phone, because you know I love a phone call. The Hot Tip Hotline is 347-509-9414. And I know that phone number better than my little brothers. I've said it so many times. I seriously don't know my brothers. But guys, I love you so much, Ellen. I love you so much. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Desi. And thank you guys for listening. Bye.
ScamWow Podcast Season 2 is produced and edited by me, Caitlin Brodnick, produced and edited by Caitlin Moldenhauer, and edited by Jesse Caron. We are part of the More Banana Podcast Network, which is an all-female owned and run network for women's voices uninterrupted. If you love us, the best thing you can do is rate and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It will help us tremendously. Thank you guys so much for listening, all of your support. We're so happy to have you here, and we will see you next week. Bye!
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.